BBC Sounds, music, radio, podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Ouch podcast. I'm Emma Tracy. This time we have episode one of series three in the other podcast I produce, which is called 1800 Seconds on Autism. People have called it spontaneous and engaging. Those who've written to us have called it helpful and relatable. And we like to call it the podcast that makes you think about how you think. This one's based on listener feedback. It's got our two presenters, Robin Stewart and Jamie Knight, and two brilliant guests with their take on life as well. I hope you enjoy it. Ouch.
1800 seconds on autism.
With Robin Stewart and Jamie Knight.
When things obviously were getting cancelled, I actually went into a three-day temper tantrum because it was change and I don't like change.
What's the cutest thing he does?
Sneezes.
Aww.
Aww.
Keep your emails coming in and your quacks and your flaps. Everything is welcome.
Hello, this is 1800 Seconds on Autism, the podcast that makes you think about how you think. I'm Jamie Knight.
And I'm Robin Stewart. We're back for this, our third series, because lots of you emailed asking for more episodes. You suggested great topics we haven't already talked about and said you'd value something autism-friendly and familiar in your podcast feed during these continually strange times.
So here we are. You said lots of lovely things about the show too, so thanks.
Thank you.
This is our feedback episode. We'll read some of your emails and do a couple of phone outs, and I'm hoping there'll be some time to talk about my truck.
Your truck?
I got a truck. It's wonderful.
Ooh. Emma, the producer, is here with us, virtually of course, because we're all still recording at home due to COVID-19. Hi Emma.
Hello. Hi. It's good to be back, but I am sitting here trying to talk into a box lined with foam, praying that I'm pressing all the right buttons. But I'm wondering how this remote recording situation is suiting you two.
I'm quite happy. How about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's way less effort than travelling into the studio. And it takes me about 10 minutes to set up the cushions in my bedroom in just the right way. So, yeah, I'm pretty chill. I like this.
I mean, maybe you could go to a studio, Emma, and me and Jamie can stay at home.
Yeah, I'd like, do you know what? I know you guys talk about eye contact and, you know, having less stuff around sort of facial expressions and body language, but I think you guys like seeing me and seeing my positions and stuff, and I think you get a lot from that, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, we do like seeing you. Henry says he likes seeing you.
It's easier to time stuff when there's less of a delay as well. So that's one thing that constantly trips me up, the little bit of lag.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I'm quite enjoying it. Not needing to go all the way into London is really good for my spoon and energy. And, you know, it's far less opportunities to get hit by a car, so woo.
Mm. That's a reference to our last cycling pod where Jamie frightened the bejeepers out of me talking about all the times he was hit by a car.
It's fine. I'm still here. I seem to bounce quite well.
Having the right help during recording lets us use less spoons. Indeed it does. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that my support bat Henry sits beside me. He's in my hand right now. That's Henry saying hello. And Jamie has his famous plushy lion, who goes by the name Lion. We know they are stars in their own right because listeners keep mentioning them in their emails to us. But we've now had an email about Jamie's support person, Ollie, who occasionally makes an appearance when he's not asleep in the corner or playing on his Nintendo Switch. Jamie, do you want to read the email?
I will, yeah. Some of your 1800 Seconds on Autism guests have young children, so they talk about their children's needs and the care and guidance given. However, there's no one who talks about the adult care and guidance given to Robin and Jamie, other than the occasional input from Ollie. Yeah, I think the last time we heard from Ollie was when we were discussing the time I was taken to A&E due to all the pain, which had made me start acting a bit strange. Well, stranger than normal. It turns out I had gallstones. Ollie is here. I'm just going to pass him an earbud so he can hear what's happening on the Zoom call. Hey, Ollie, how you doing?
I'm good.
So that was a bad time for me, but how was it for you?
It had a big impact and wrote poetry for like the first time in 10 years.
I didn't know that you ended up writing poetry about me getting gallstones.
Well, yes, it was like we left the hospital really late. It was like 2 in the morning. I was entirely knackered, like physically and emotionally. I thought, wow, people write poetry when they're in a state like this. I should do that. It came out really trippy. It was about sort of the hospital and stuff. It was good.
Well, I'll see if I can secure a copy for the show notes.
I think it's got a lot of swearing in it.
I should get on with this email. During the last 3 years, I've had to negotiate my way around hospital during 3 rounds of cancer diagnosis and treatment, with a new round of symptoms and investigations just starting. Dear God, that sounds...
I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, likewise, that sounds awful. And he goes on to write, I don't think other people appreciate how hard these situations are for autistic people. As producers of the show, I'm not sure you appreciate how much can be learned from listening to the podcast a few times and with the input of others like Ollie. Perhaps Ollie can be hired as a show's occasional consultant. I very much like his neutral tone. The problems and issues he negotiates for Jamie are never a problem in his eyes and are often quite amusing. I find this uplifting. Please let Ollie know that his input is appreciated. And actually, that's the end of that sentence. So, yeah, Ollie, you're appreciated. Well done.
Thank you.
Way! Well done.
Last week, me and Ollie were in Wales, and we decided that we'd sit on some benches on a really tall hill in a lightning storm.
Metal benches.
Metal benches on a tall hill next to some trees in a lightning storm.
That's not sensible.
It wasn't, but the lightning was quite far away, and it was very pretty. And it was one of those things where it went from a perfect summer's day to a storm in like a couple of minutes, and all the wind blew, and it was very biblical. And we both came out going, oh, we have some really surreal, awesome experiences together.
That's a recipe for poetry right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you write some more poetry after that one?
No. I think we drove for another 3 hours through a heavy rainstorm, and we kept stopping just to watch the lightning a bit more. It was really cool.
We get so many emails, and I do think as producer and not being autistic, I do realise the impact that this has on people. And it's incredible to know how much people get from the podcast. And it's nice to get an email about Ollie.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Let's get rid of Ollie now.
No, let's not get rid of Ollie.
I'll get the gun.
That's such an Ollie thing to do. I'm going to get shot. I better go get the gun because nobody else will.
Yeah. If you had one, you wouldn't even know where it is.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to continue going watch YouTube videos on the sofa. But thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate you bringing me in.
He's blushing. It's adorable.
No, it's the lighting. You're wearing sunglasses. It's also very warm in here.
Oh, yes, I am.
You are.
That'll be why I can't see anything.
Yes, that is true. Right. Catch you guys later.
Email stim@bbc.co.uk.
We absolutely love hearing about your intense interests, the things that other people sometimes call special interests or obsessions, and believe it to be negative, but we believe that it can be positive and it can help you build useful skills and even, if you want it to, become your career. On this subject, Mark Logan tells us that he doesn't have a fluffy support animal like we do, but he does make stuffed animals for a living. He says, it's the only job I've managed to keep for more than a few months, other than a year-long job I had once doing data entry. I taught myself to sew and then started a small store to sell my dolls. I began this 17 years ago and I've created 8,728 one-of-a-kind stuffed animals since then. Apparently, one of his dolls is featured in the renowned Smithsonian Museum, and Barack Obama was given one by a congresswoman in 2010. It's been wonderful to figure out a skill that utilises my need to repeat the same motions for hours a day and uses my ability to visualise 3D objects and translate them into sculptures of fabric. Wow, that sounds great. Thank you for sharing that with us, Mark.
That does sound really amazing. And I really like how Mark is building on one of his interests to make a career. And that topic of, I had employment doing data entry or something else, but it wasn't my special interest. It wasn't my intense interest. And then I managed to find a way to make my intense interest my income. A lot of happy autistic people I know have followed that path. Let's do one of our phone outs to Alfie Ward, who is an intense interest to tell us about. Technically, it's not a phone out, though, because he has to join our Zoom call, and it's not a traditional phone in either because we're not live. This is confusing. Anyway, Alfie is a 26-year-old BSL translator from Birmingham who wrote to us about a sports team he set up for autistic people. Hi, Alfie. How are you today?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Whee.
What sport do you play?
So I play a sport called paintball.
Oh.
Yes. We're quite a rare breed. Paintballers are. We started the team up because myself and a friend found it hard to get into some paintball teams, obviously because of our autism and people didn't really understand. So obviously we wanted to create a team where people felt safe and they felt that people around them understood about autism and the coaches would understand as well.
I imagine paintballing is the same thing as mountain biking, where it's a very kind of socially complicated environment, full of barter and stuff like that, which to me is a little bit of a lost cause. Similar sort of thing, or...?
It can be, especially when we go to like tournaments, because obviously in tournaments there's a lot of people, a lot of different noises. So I like to just put my headphones on until I do actually have to take them off. Then I'm kind of a bit out of my comfort zone. I do try and talk to only a handful of people who I actually know. Yeah, it can be socially awkward sometimes.
So how does paintballing work? Like, I mean, I realise that you've got guns with paint, but I mean, that's all I know about it.
There's two different types that you can play. So there's woods ball, which obviously like says it in the name, you play in the woods, obviously with trees and natural bunkers. Whereas I also play sup air, which you got like inflatable bunkers. So I prefer that. So it's basically two different teams on the field at one time. And it's a race to like 3 points, six on each team or five. And you basically just shoot each other, really.
What does it feel like to have the paint shot at you? Does it feel horrible?
At first, especially if you're new, it can be horrible because obviously like the texture and it can feel cold as well. So I think when I first got hit, I just screamed and I just sat where I was. I didn't like it. But I think after a while, I sort of managed to build a bit of tolerance to it. Like I got used to the paint, especially outside as well.
Does it leave bruises?
It can leave bruises. I've gone paintballing Saturday, Sunday. I've come back into work on the Monday and I've turned up black and blue before.
I've had the same thing when I fell off my bike and people are like, oh my God, what happened to you? Did someone beat you up? No, I...
Yeah, that's the question I do get asked quite a lot.
But guys, it doesn't seem like a very autism-friendly activity. Like there's so much unpredictability and the paint being shot at you, like the feeling of that and everything. Is that, would you guys agree with me in that assumption or do you just not make assumptions like I do?
I think I'd say that it's a defined activity with relatively fixed rules in a defined area. So whilst it is... chaos, it's actually quite well defined chaos. Like, for example, whilst you're out on the field playing, nobody is going to come and ask you whether you want a sandwich or, you know, would you like a cup of tea? You're probably not going to answer your mobile phone. So actually a lot of the day-to-day stresses, I imagine, a bit like mountain biking, disappear because they're not relevant whilst you're doing the activity.
Yeah, I find it the fact that whenever I play, for whoever long I'm playing for, I'm just in my own little world. Mm-hmm. And nothing else really matters. So for that 2-3 minutes of playing, I've got a job to do and I know the rules. So
it's a nice flow state where the rest of the world buggers off for a bit. In my case, I need to avoid trees and you just have to shoot people. What could possibly go wrong?
How fast does the paint come out of the gun?
So every time we go to a paintball field, they have to test our markers to see the rate of fire. So a typical paintball match for myself, we can shoot between 5 and 10 paintballs a second.
What velocity do they come out?
I'm not 100% sure, I'm afraid. I don't really get into the technical stuff. My brain doesn't really like numbers. If I get hit by one, I know full well there's 9 others going to come at me straight away.
There's more coming.
Alfie, what's life been like for you during lockdown?
It's been really, really hard. I've not been able to keep the routine of my running races, obviously paintball tournaments. My work has been great. They've actually managed to keep some kind of routine for me. But when things obviously were getting cancelled, I actually went into a 3-day temper tantrum because it was change and I don't like change. So... yeah, I spent 3 days just with my headphones on in my bedroom, not coming out to see the world.
Sounds more like a meltdown or a shutdown than a temper tantrum, really.
Yeah, I threw a couple of things as well.
I had a few recently and I've now got extra ventilation holes in my bedroom door.
For you, Alfie, what's the difference between a meltdown and a temper tantrum?
For me, a meltdown is where I just curl up into a ball, put my headphones on and just escape from the world. A temper tantrum is where I go into a full-blown strop, throw myself on the floor, kicking and screaming. That's what I've been told I do. I don't really remember them. It's all like it just goes into a bit of a blur.
There's a blurring of terms here, because what you describe where you basically go and hide, I'd describe as a shutdown, and what you're describing as a tantrum, I'd describe as a meltdown, especially the not being able to remember it after.
Yeah, but Jamie, you can't tell other people how to describe what they experience.
I'm not. I used the phrase I would describe as. I think the reason why I keep picking up the word tantrum is because tantrum is a very judgmental term. And I think we spend a lot of time trying to explain to people that meltdowns are not tantrums. So that's why it's picking up my ears.
Yeah. Why do you use the word tantrum, Alfie?
It's a word that got stuck with me from a very young age. So I think that's the kind of word that got used on me. And it's just a word that I've always remembered. So 'cause I got diagnosed quite late on in years of autism. So throughout the years, I was known as just a naughty child. So what we didn't know were obviously my meltdowns. I just got told, yeah, you have another temper tantrum.
That makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of people who are diagnosed later in life who have the same experience, where the bad behaviour lens was the lens that was used rather than understanding, you know, the autism stuff.
Thanks a lot, Alfie.
Thank you. It's been great to chat.
Thank you very much for having me.
1800 Seconds on Autism.
With Robin Stewart and Jamie Knight.
A bit of housekeeping for you. Unlike before, our podcasts won't be published every week. They'll be published monthly, recorded a few days before they go out.
I don't quite get the housekeeping bit. I mean, I'm in a house, but I'm not normally in a house. And Jamie, are you in a flat or a house?
I'm in a flat, but by housekeeping means announcements that relate to the thing that you're doing.
I know, I'm just kind of making fun of...
Oh, okay.
..of me, as usual. Sorry. You always make fun of me. Why do you always make fun of me?
I'm not really making fun of you. I'm more making fun of just that these are things that people do say, you know, housekeeping stuff. It's not like you invented that, but it's just, to me, I just find that kind of thing quite funny. In my head, what I see is a picture of a house and a broom, and that doesn't relate. So I'm not really making fun of you personally. I'm more making fun of just that in English we have all these non-literal phrases and they are quite funny when you think about it.
Me and Jamie call them Robinisms and they're fantastic and we really like them. I think I'm a little bit sort of raw from the Ollie email where nobody's emailed me about me. Aww. To say Emma gets a rough deal because you always take the pee out of her script.
Well, I'm not really taking the piss out of your script though.
Not this time.
So we need a new section for the podcast called We Really Like Emma.
Yeah, we love Emma.
It's not about that.
Welcome to the Emma Appreciation Hour.
You see, now I just look like an absolute... Aegis.
No, it's fine. I think the neurotypical people call this banter.
Yeah, I think that's what they call it, yeah. Anyway, for the last two series, we recorded programmes in advance across many months and then put them out weekly, all in a row, like ducks, which meant we weren't able to respond to your emails on the next programme, unlike ducks, because they would quack. Well, now we can quack. So, we hope you like the new format, and all being well, we'll be here once a month for the next 8 months. Yay! That's how it's working for this series, and it's a good way for us to be able to continue to speak with you during this pandemic era. Message over! Let's carry on!
I think what I was trying to say there was...
Quack!
Keep emailing.
Keep your emails coming in, and your quacks, and your flaps. Everything is welcome. So, Jamie, now is your time to talk about your truck.
Okay, so I didn't actually mean to buy a truck. Me and Ollie do lots of adventures, and we've been using his car, and then I pay for the fuel and stuff. But we're basically slowly destroying his car with muddy bikes and stuff like that. Also, I can't easily get in and out of his car because it's really low. And when I'm really tired, I get, you know, I need to hold the door and he has to hold the door. And it's a whole right rigmarole. So we got onto this idea of getting a pickup truck. Dirty things like bikes can go in the back and then we can put, you know, handles and stuff into the cab. The original plan was for me and Ollie to buy it together, but for it to be Ollie's daily driver. So he'd drive it every day and he'd then put in, you know, more money and stuff. But then he didn't like how it drove. So in the end, I ended up keeping it because I really liked how useful it was, and we were going to lose £500 or £600 selling it anyway, so we may as well keep it for 3 months, see how much we used it. And I'll tell you what, it's bloody amazing. I've never had a vehicle of my own before.
But if Ollie doesn't like driving it, who drives it?
All of my friends are insured on it, and I'm also insured to drive it as long as there's a qualified driver with me, which is a terrifying idea. But we'll find a quiet car park and I'll have a go at some point.
And are you using it like a sensory den?
I am, yeah. So That's cool. Oh, God, it's been used for a little bit of everything. So one of the things I've never been really very good at is if I went mountain biking with someone, essentially, whilst they were packing the car, I'd be sitting around doing nothing because I just get in the way. But now what we can do is we've got this custom-built rack that goes in the back of the pickup bed, which rides out on wheels. So I can pull it out and bolt the bikes to it all by myself without needing anybody to help me. And then we can put the bike rack in and go ride bikes or whatever. But the bike rack also comes out. So we can also, at one place, it was really hot and the truck's got air conditioning, which is brilliant. So we were able to sit where it was nice and cold. I can change my clothes in the back really easily. It's got a twin cab, so it's got five seats like a proper car. So you can also sit in the back where it's all got blacked out windows and it's nice and dark. It's a really, really cool thing.
Does it make you want to learn to drive?
Yes, yes. So bad. The way that my routine works at the moment is I basically get 5 days of just enough routine to stop everything from collapsing. So 5 days where I get some stuff done, but essentially I'm stuck at home or very little autonomy, really. I'm kind of stuck on my routine is about the only thing I've got the energy and the support to do. And then I get 2 days a week where Ollie does a back-to-back visit. And then those are the days where we do opticians or doctors. And we end up at the doctors quite a lot at the moment because I've got a health condition to monitor. So we do food, shopping, laundry, all that sort of stuff during this two-day slot when Ollie visits. But we can also use some of that time to go for a bike ride. I would love to be able to ride my bike any day. And it would be a dream of mine to be able to drive myself to a bike park, go for a ride and then drive myself back. The nearest bike park's about 3 miles away, so it's not that far away. And I've got a provisional driving license. So in theory, now that I'm insured on the truck, if I had a fully qualified driver sat next to me, then I could slowly build up to being able to do that. Although in reality, it's probably something I might manage to do once just for the sake of the adventure. But I don't think it will ever be a practical thing I can do every day.
What colour is it?
It's black. It's got silver wheels, it's got silver metal bits down the side, and it's got a silver kind of canopy over the top of the truck bed.
You do love your little spaces, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Between storage units and cupboards and trucks. I mean, we could have literally made a series, couldn't we, about Jamie and Robin's little spaces.
Little nooks.
You're listening to 1800 Seconds on Autism.
Let's do a phone out. Hello, Abby Lewis.
Hi.
Abby wrote to us with a glowing email, although I don't know how it can be glowing because I don't think emails glow anyway. Abby says, I am 16 years old and have Asperger's syndrome. Most of my peers at school bully me for my disability and I could talk for hours on this, but my email would be too long. I used to get bullied at school as well. When I start talking about a passionate topic, the words just start to fall out of my mouth and I cannot seem to control it very well. I can definitely be like that.
Yeah, I know that feeling well.
I just wondered whether you would do a phone out with me because one of my neurotypical friends introduced me to your podcast and we stay in contact, chatting constantly about it and how amazing you are at it. Oh, thank you. I have re-listened to all of your episodes many times and made myself fall off my chair laughing. That was a pun on one of the names of your episodes. I hope you understand the joke. We do. From Abby Lewis and Poppy, my support plushie dog. Well, Abby, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. Before lockdown, what were you doing and has this changed?
Before lockdown, obviously I was at school, but now that we're in lockdown, it's been online school, which has been quite hard to deal with sometimes.
What's been the hardest thing about online schooling?
The fact that teachers often pick on me more now that I'm not in the stressful situation of being at school.
Well, they pick on you? Do you mean they ask you questions or they're horrible? Or
no, they ask me questions like to answer a question in class.
Can you do text or do you actually have to speak?
I had to tell a couple of my teachers that I prefer to use the chat function. So it took quite a while for them to adapt their teaching method. But finally, they managed to allow me to use the chat function.
That's good.
Oh, that's good. And what do you want to do next year?
I'm hoping to go to one of two sixth forms and I'm hoping to get a career in general paediatric nursing.
Oh, that's great. So how do you feel about going to sixth form?
The thought of it is quite scary because there's a chance I might be going to a new one where there's the social issue of having new people to talk to. And obviously they won't understand how best to communicate with me.
When I went to sixth form, I had the same worry. But generally speaking, the people who have gone to sixth form tend to be the more mature students. So my social skills improved a lot with sixth form because the students were more flexible to communicate with me. So it was a much better experience than GCSEs.
What other things do you like to do?
Recently in lockdown, I've got into colouring, which is quite relaxing. I also like playing with my dog.
Do you have a dog as well as Poppy?
Yeah, he's called Harvey.
Oh, what kind of dog is he?
He's a mix between a Cavalier King Charles and a Bichon Frise.
Oh, does he have, like, floppy ears?
Yeah, his ears are far too big for his head.
What's the cutest thing he does?
Sneezes.
Oh.
So, Abby, earlier you mentioned that you're looking to be a paediatric nurse. What draws you into that?
From a young age, I was in my brownies, my local brownies. And now I've gone back as a young leader to help. So I've become quite close with young children and I just like making people feel better and helping them.
Oh,
that's really good.
I used to go to brownies. Jamie, did you go to Scouts or anything?
I did Sea Cadets for a short while, but I left unable to tie knots and unable to swim. So I'm not sure I necessarily did very well at Sea Cadets. But it was fun. I liked the routine and the structure of it.
I loved going to brownies.
It's really positive to have more autistic nurses and people working with children because it's a role model for young people they support. And it also helps show that being autistic doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have careers in really competitive fields like being a paediatric nurse. So it's really good, really, really good, really excited for it.
Personally, I'd rather be seen by a fellow autistic person because I think sometimes non-autistic people, I don't really know how to articulate it better, but they like fluffy communication when it's medical things.
I have that exact experience. I went a couple of years ago and had my teeth done under anaesthetic, and the anaesthetologist was autistic. And he didn't say, well, we're going to put this into you and it's going to make you fall asleep. He went, this drug will make you so you don't move as much. This one will mean that you don't remember anything. This one will make you relax. And he kind of mixed it all up whilst explaining what they all did. And that actually really reassured me because I understood what was going on rather than, yeah, this is a magic thing that makes you fall asleep, which to me was actually a really scary thought.
I have one more question, Abby. Do you think there are any topics that affect young people that we haven't covered in the podcast?
There is one that you partly touched on, but I think it's bullying, which is quite a big one for me sometimes.
Abby, thank you for sharing about your bullying because I think it's a really important topic. Maybe we can do a future episode on it. But thank you so much for joining us and it's been fantastic.
Thank you for joining us. It's been great. Cheerio.
That's it for this month's episode of 1800 Seconds on Autism. We love reading your messages, so please keep them coming in to stim@bbc.co.uk. Stim is spelled S-T-I-M.
If you subscribe to the podcast on the BBC Sounds app, each new episode will automatically appear in your feed as soon as it's published. Thanks for listening, and remember,
when you've met one autistic person,
you've met one autistic person.
Bye!
Bye!
Times up. That was 1800 Seconds on Autism.
Thank you for listening to 1800 Seconds on Autism. There'll be an episode every month for the next 6 months or so. You can subscribe to the Ouch podcast on BBC Sounds and you can get in touch with us at ouch@bbc.co.uk and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at BBC Ouch. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Ouch.